really feeds my ego, and I have a real problem with that, you know. And I don't want this to be about me. I want this to be about Jesus, because I didn't do anything to change my life to the way it is today. I'd like to open up in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to spend all day yesterday in your word. Thank you for all the things that you revealed to me and revealed all the things that you've done in my life. I am completely inadequate for this today, Father, but I am adequate with your power. So I ask for your adequacy in this today, and I ask that you speak through me powerfully and only the way that you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. Needless to say, I'm very nervous, but that's okay. Like I said, I'm not adequate for this. Last week, Ed was talking, he was talking about the new covenant, right? Can anybody maybe in just in a real short way to describe what the new covenant is? Anybody want to try that? Okay, anybody else? Frank? Anybody else have an idea? Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's not based on your works anymore. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior.
Okay. And you know, so it's a new arrangement for living. And I kind of just said it that I'm not adequate to live this life. I'm really not adequate for anything. But with through Christ, I'm adequate. You know, I know there's a lot of people in here that have you know, struggled with addictions and things like that. And you know, when I finally got to recovery, the first time I got to recovery, I got like 7.5 years clean. And, you know, at the first part of it, I turned my life, you know, the first three steps, I'm powerless over my addiction, that my life had become unmanageable, came to believe a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and then made a decision to turn my life over to God. And I did in a certain, you know, until I turned my life over to God, and things started changing so fast. My life started getting better so fast that I was three steps and I was done. I was like, man, I'm good now. I got this thing figured out. I got it handled. And, you know, it wasn't long till a couple, you know, couple years went by, and I got to the point to where I thought it was me, and everyone's going, you're doing such a good job. And I'm like, I am. Aren't I doing a good job? I'm pretty darn good, aren't I? And slowly but surely, things started to creep back into my life, and they fell apart. Because I was trying to do it on my own power. As a matter of fact, my sponsor that I picked had said that his sponsor told him one time that that certain alcoholics can stay clean on their own strength for about 7 years. That's about it. So I'm like, whoa, that happened to me. So I didn't learn. I learned, you know, once God gave me what I needed and I was on my feet, then I was okay again. It was okay to let God save me, but it wasn't okay for him to be my God in my life, in the rest of my life. So the new covenant is just radical. It's radical way of living, and it's completely contrary to what I was brought up with. Ed got almost through it all, but at the end of the day, the other day, he said, "Bruce, I didn't get to those last two verses, and they're real important." And I agree. This is what we studied in our discipleship groups, these 2 Corinthians. So if I don't know this stuff by now, boy, I'm in trouble. But so towards the end of it, in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 3:16. So we were talking about just before that. We were talking about even in that day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I started in 15. But what it was Moses. He wasn't seen, saw God as close as anyone's ever seen God, and it was such a glorious thing that he's shown, his whole face shone from it. And so what he did was he put a veil over his face because they couldn't look at him. It was too intense for the people to look at him. But what was happening, it was fading over time. But he didn't take it off because he didn't want people to know that it was fading. And so that was the, that's what, so now, when you get to verse 16, it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So what he's saying is like when I was trying to do life on my own and I was trying to do all the good things on my own strength, I couldn't sustain it. It faded away eventually, right? I had, and you can go down into my history, and I had 7.5 years at that time, and then I went back into recovery again, and then I only had 2.5 years the next time, and then I only had 1 year. So it got harder and harder for me to do it on my own strength. I couldn't do it anymore. It was fading away. I couldn't even do, you know, I couldn't stay clean for, towards the end, longer than a couple days. And until I finally decided that I need to turn my life over to God, as I understood him, and that was through this church. That's a long story, but I can't go into that. But anyway, so whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when I turn to the Lord, I don't have to, it's not up to me anymore. The Lord gets to do it now. Okay. And then in verse 17 it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Of course, the Lord, we're talking about Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's the same person. It's the triune God. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is the Spirit. He's not here physically as a man, but he's still living inside me. When I turned my life over to God, the Holy Spirit came to live in with me. So Jesus is living inside me now. And it gives me the strength to stand up here in front of you and do the, you know, 5-7 years ago, I would have never dreamed of standing up here talking about Jesus. I would have thought, you know, I was so worried about you thinking I was a weirdo or something like that. But it says here, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, for most of my life, I was a people pleaser that I thought I had to make everybody see this good guy and this guy that does everything right and doesn't make mistakes and all that kind of stuff. And it's a prison. It's a prison trying to do that, to try to go, I'm okay, Bruce looks good on the outside, and the inside I'm like dying, hurting, feeling worthless. But people would look at me and I'll get my stuff together, you know, and that's a lot of work to do that. So when I realized that, you know what, God loves me just the way I am. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be any different. I can just be who I am, and it's up to him to change me as long as I let him. There's a lot of freedom in that. There's I don't know if anybody else has experienced it. I'm sure there's a lot of people here, but it's so much less pressure. I don't have this big old thing. Oh, I got to make sure. Oh, I can't let nobody find out about this. I can't let nobody find out about this. Instead, I just said, I'm a loser. I have no strength. I'm weak. And I don't have what it takes. And that's what gave me what it takes. It's completely backwards to my thinking my whole life. You know, I don't have what it takes. That's all I had to say was I had what it takes, and I get all this freedom, and I get all this power. It's amazing. And then verse 18, which is the last one in chapter 3, is, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so basically, it says here, and we who with unveiled faces, who do you think that is? What does he mean by we? Okay. There you go. Okay. So believers, we don't have to live that way anymore. But you know, the thing is that it's a moment by moment thing. We can choose to have unveiled faces, but we can go right back and choose to veil ourselves again. It's a constant battle. I mean, I'm not even at a 50-50 ratio yet, you know, as far as being unveiled or being the real person or being this person that people want me to be. I go back and forth all day long. It's constantly from moment to moment to moment. I can be living with a veil on my face, or I can be living without it. And like I said, what usually happens is enough pain happens when I put the veil on that I say, oh, I messed up, and I take the veil off, and then it's all gone. All the pressure's gone. There's no more pressure. The freedom's back. So that's what's happened in my life. And then it says here, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Actually, in this word here where it says reflect, it actually, the real rendering is beholding as in a mirror. Mirror. There you go. Back then, they didn't have mirrors like we have, like clear mirrors. They just had polished metal. So they could kind of see a reflection, but it's really not a true reflection. And I think what he's talking about here is the Lord's glory reflects to us like a mirror. In other words, we're not like Moses where we're standing right in front of God. Because we probably couldn't handle it. We'd probably fall down and die if we faced God face to face. So he kind of shows us a little bit at a time. And so we reflect the Lord's glory. So in other words, it's like looking in a mirror and at the Lord's glory. Okay, and the Lord's glory is shining on us a little bit at a time. It's only as much as we can handle. I also think when I was doing this study was that not only that, but I think also we get to see ourselves for who we really are. Because when we look in a mirror, I don't know if you've ever done it. When I was in a recovery program, they had this guy, counselor, that would say, I just want you to look at yourself in the mirror for as long as you can. And I saw this guy do it, and he was like 2 minutes into it. He starts crying. I'm like, oh, what a weakling. You know, that won't happen to me. And so I did it, and I was looking, and he said, look right in your eyes. And I lasted about 5 minutes, and I started going, and I broke down crying like crazy because I saw who the real person I was. And so I think that, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody, but I believe not only do we get to see the Lord's glory, but it all, seeing the Lord's glory shows us how broken we really are. And I think as we shed some of those bad traits, he shows more. And so it's constantly, we're constantly being showed more and more light by God as a reflection of God. And that's from the Holy Spirit living in us and leaning on God to do, to live life for us. Let me take a breath here. Yes, Kathy.
I just have a comment to make.
Yes.
I think it can be confusing. It has been for me. Where if we're created inadequate, but we have tremendous worth and value because he is in us. He created us. He's in us. We have worth and value, but our power comes from him to do what he wants us to do. So we're not really losers. We just really can't do it without him. We're
right.
Created to do it without him. So
right. Thank you. No, I agree.
I didn't want anybody to get
me. No, that's what, and I don't get me wrong, I don't feel like a loser anymore. I'm actually glad for the stuff that I went through. Believe it or not, I wouldn't have wished my life on anyone, tell you the truth. But now that I got through this, I see how God was going, you know, he was kind of nudging me here and there and going, here, going, you know. But I ended up here. I mean, if I could tell you, I could spend all day telling you the circumstances that brought me here, that what God nudged me here. He pushed me in the right direction, picked the sponsor I did, and he directed me here. And here I am up here doing this, man. Wow. It's amazing. It says here, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So basically it's a process. It's, like I was saying, a moment by moment by moment thing. Now, you know, I may 50 times choose God's power, and 50% of the time choose my power. And I think over time, the percentage is changing just little by little by little, right? Just a little bit, my life is changing. I'm going, wow, why didn't I tell that guy off yesterday? I would have tore that guy up and down, you know? I can't explain it. Why that happened, but I can tell that I am, and it's saying the Lord's glory, reflect the Lord's glory. In other words, that seeing the work of God taking place in my life. That's the ever increasing glory. I say, oh, last week I would have told that guy off, or a month ago that guy would have cut me off. I'd have chased him down to his house or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm serious. But you see, that's a veil. I could say, oh, I've never done anything like that, and I would be living in a veil, right? That's the kind of things I did. I did things that were erratic and from my ego and my pride, you know. And so I am ashamed of those things. I don't ever want to do them again, but I have done them. And that gives me freedom to say, yes, I did these things. Yes, I stole and I lied and I cheated and broke every commandment I could possibly imagine. And, but that's all God wanted of me, just to admit that. And then he come work in my life. That's just, wow. Okay, now we're going to finally go into my verses, and I still have 20 minutes, so I'm good. Chapter 4. Therefore, here we go. Like Kevin said, you better find out what the therefore is there for. And it's basically on account of what I just told you, on account of this new arrangement for living, I'm going to go into some more stuff on account of these things that God had revealed to me. So it says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have, I'm going to read the whole thing, 1-6. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of glory, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Whew. A lot of stuff there. A lot of good stuff, especially you spent a lot of time on it. First of all, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Does anybody have an idea what he means by this ministry? Anybody have any ideas? If you raise your hand, I'll call him. Yes. Thank you. Marta? What did I just ask? I'm just kidding. Yes, just kidding. Go ahead. I knew that was going to be the hard part. No, I know what I just asked. Yes, Jenny. Yes, and you know, and I think that because he says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we were given mercy. We were, in other words, we were given a gift that we didn't deserve, right? Because God loved us, right? That's why he did it. He said, "I love that." We heard it in that song today, that he loves us. That's why he did what he did for us. So, I think this ministry. I think the best word I would say is the ministry of reconciliation. Right? Because we're separated from God. We can't live this life alone. We were created to live on the power of God. That's what we were created for. And so the ministry is that there is a way back to that. There's a way to get back right with God again, right? At least that's what it says to me. And it's like, so it's kind of like now, you know, my old person, you kidding? Sunday morning, I'm going to sleep until 11. I'm going to get up and go play golf. And I'm going to do things that are going to please Bruce. I wouldn't go... You know, or Friday, I wouldn't go every Friday night to R&R and do the things that I do. I do it because of what God did for me. And I'm like, it's kind of like if you eat at a good restaurant or you see a great rock concert or something, you tell all your friends, oh, how great this is. And that's what this is about. It's like what God did for me is the most amazing thing on earth. I got to go share this with everybody. That's what my ministry is I got to share what's been happening to me. I mean, I think about who I was 7 years ago, I can't even recognize me anymore. I cannot even recognize me anymore. And so the ministry of reconciliation, we do not lose heart, because losing heart's basically, you know, getting discouraged, fainting, giving up, because we don't have to, because we never had what it took in the first place. So we still don't have to have what it takes. God does it. We don't lose heart because it's not up to us. God's the one that does the work. It's just up to us to say what happened to us, to tell people, look, I used to be this person, now look at me now. I'm a completely different person. The before and after picture, you know. Maybe not the weight part, but the inside part, okay? That's right. So we do not lose heart because it's not up to us. God has what it takes. On Friday, there was that Kevin guy was speaking, and he was talking about, Kevin, where is he? Hey, there he is. I don't know his last name. Well, I was just... Thank you, Kevin. Because I didn't know you were here. That's why I would have said, if anybody said, who's Kevin? The Kevin guy. Anyway. Now, he's a good before and after picture. So, yeah, okay. But he was talking about when Paul wanted to ask God to remove the thorn in his flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he read that, and I was like, wow, that fits right into what it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So our power is in weakness. So we don't have what it takes. That's great, man. That's what we want. We don't want what it takes. As soon as we think we have what it takes, we take over the control of our lives again, and it falls apart again. At least that's what happens to me. I don't know about you. Yeah, did it happen to you? Okay. So then he goes on to say, rather, you know, on the contrary, contraire mon frere. Anybody know Simpsons? Contraire mon frere. We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I went the wrong way. Sorry. Yeah, no, that's right. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Renounce secret ways, in other words, hidden sin, my sin that was hidden that I kept from everybody and made everybody seem like I was okay and I had my stuff together, the liar, the cheater, and all that guy, turned from those things. And it gave me freedom in shameful ways. And then we do not use deception. Now, you remember the reason Paul wrote this letter is because he went to go back to his church that he founded and he started, and he went back to go visit them, and they turned him away, saying that we don't want you no more. We have these new teachers that told us that you're not who you say you are, right? And so he writes a letter back. So he's, part of this letter is defending his apostleship, his authority. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for, in the church. Because they were trying to say, well, no, these other guys were saying that, you know, you're full of it. And he's telling them, look at your changed life. What are you talking about? You know, that's the church I founded, and you're kicking me out, saying I don't, it made no sense. So he was talking about these guys that were coming in, making them think differently about Paul. They were trying to make them say, that Paul guy, he's not even a real apostle. And so he's saying, and so what they were doing is that they were using deception. They were distorting the word of God. And, you know, most of the time when word of God is distorted, it usually has some truth from it, and they add a little error in there. So that, I mean, if you've ever seen some of these TV guys, they pull one verse out, and they talk, and you're like, where did, you know, and it's completely out of context, and that's what they do. They go, look, it's in the Bible, it says it right there, but they don't go and tell you what's said around that. You can take any book and go in the middle of it and pull something out of it and say, this is what it means, without looking at the context. So that's what these people were doing. They were distorting the word of God, turning the people against Paul, and that's why he's saying that. So, and then he says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, there we go. On the contrary, being we do quite the opposite, right? By setting forth, and this is the rest of that verse. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Wow, this was real powerful for me. You know, because that's why I was talking about don't do that Bruce thing, because actually, let me back up. By setting on the contrary, so we don't have to do anything but tell the people what happened to us in truth, simply and plainly. We don't have to use thous and thats and all these deep-sounding words. We just plainly say, look, I used to be this person. This is the person I am. God did it. That's it. That's the truth. Setting forth the truth. When I lived at my, as a matter of fact, I wanted to welcome my brother-in-law and my nephew over there and my mother for coming to support me today. And I'm going to probably cry here, but I live with them. And I was so against church. I hated church. I did not want to go back to church because I already knew I did so many bad things that there's no way I'm ever going to be right, made right. There's no way I could ever. And that's, you know, because I went to, and I don't want to say anything bad about the Catholic Church. There's a lot of good Catholic a lot of good Christians in the Catholic churches, but I was, either I got the wrong message, or I was told the wrong thing, but it was, for me, it was like I got a scale of bad and a scale of good, and the bad was so heavy, there's no way I could ever, for the rest of my life, ever make that scale change. And so what happened was, and I'm a good arguer. I can argue any point, side of any argument. I can take an argument and I can take either side and be just as good on either side, even if I believe in it or not. And most people that know me know that. They're like, oh, I can't argue with that guy. I can't ever win. My mom knows. Most people know that. She's never won an argument with me. She's going away scratching her head. Oh, man, I got it. I'll get him next time. But what I'm trying to say by that is that I was like, well, what about the dinosaurs? This Bible makes no sense. You know, that's what everybody always says when you're trying to share the gospel. What about the dinosaurs? Where's the dinosaurs in there? Just 2 billion years ago. He did this in 2,000 years. How can that possibly be? And that was me. And my sister and my brother-in-law, I was living with them. And we'd sit there till 2 in the morning, man, and talking about this stuff. And I would argue her, and she would just start saying scripture. She would just start going, the word of God, we live on the word of God alone, and all this. I'm like, la, 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 you know? And serious. And I remember reading the word before God. It was like, every time I looked at it, it was like, twizzle, twazzle, twizzle, two, like the, you know, Mr. Wizard. That's what it sounded like to me. And I argued it. I go, this makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. As far as my mind goes, I would have never accepted the gospel if it had to do with my intellect. Never. Would have never happened. I guarantee it. And it says here, we plainly commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So what my sister was doing, she was just plainly telling me the truth, not taking it on herself to have to change my mind. It was working on my conscience. It was working on the part that I had no control over, right? Because the intellect, I could say, no, that's wrong. Look, that's wrong. Look at this. Oh, this makes no sense whatsoever. Look over here. That doesn't match that. You know, all that kind of stuff. But so that's all we need to do. Our ministry is to tell the truth plainly. We don't have to argue someone into, look, you can't believe in evolution. The Lord, look at this, and try to argue them into it. You'll never do it. You just speak the truth plainly, and it'll speak to their conscience. Even C.S. Lewis said that he was like, he had to be drugged into Christianity because his intellect would not let him do it. But the conscience is what got him. So our job is to just plainly tell the truth. That's what the gospel is, to tell the truth of what happened in our lives, what changed our lives. And then even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. That was me. I was perishing. And my intellect would have never let me accept this, except I kept hearing the truth and I kept seeing it lived out in front of me with my sister, brother-in-law, and kids. The first Christian family I really saw, and, you know, me and my sisters were like, oh, those kids are going to be too protected. And we're all, you know, we were talking that, you know, these kids aren't going to grow up right because they don't know what the real world's all about and all that kind of stuff. That's what we said. But you know what? I saw it lived out in front of me. I saw the way a family's supposed to work. It was completely contrary to my experience. And I know the only reason is that is because God was in there. And I know that. And that's how that worked on my conscience. I'm going, look, they're telling me the truth. I'm seeing it lived out in front of me. There's nothing for me to point at that you're hypocrites. There was nothing I could. So I had no choice. I got drug into Christianity. And I didn't want to, right? But it happened. God, you know, his truth worked on my conscience. So what? Who do you think he's talking about that our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing? Who has an idea who's those who are perishing? Okay. Like all we were all at one time, right? That's why. Twizzle, twazzle, twizzle, two. That's what the Bible said to me. How does it go? Oh. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm just about there. I got 5 minutes. So he goes on to explain why is the gospel veiled? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Whew. So when you see Christ, he is God revealing himself to us, right? If you look Christ, we don't see him physically, but his words, the things he's done in people's lives, the things that were recorded of what he did. So Christ is the image of God. God said, I want to reveal myself to my people. I can't reveal them to who I really am because they'll all fall down and burn if they try to face me. But Jesus Christ came in as a man, and he's the one. I'm trying to show you who I am through this man. That's what Jesus Christ came here for. So, they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They can't see it because they're blinded. They're blinded, but they still have a conscience that the truth can still work on. So all you have to do is keep saying the truth. My sister drove me crazy. La 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 la. Shut up! I don't want to hear that. But I still heard it, right? And you know, so that's why I love when my brother-in-law, and my sister are here, because through them my life got changed, and I could never ever. And it was through some tough loves and tough choices they had to make, but I will never ever forget them. So anyway, I don't want them to know that. So it goes on to say, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. And so, you know, that's why, you know, I really appreciate the Bruce part, and I really do appreciate that, but I really think that it's not good, because I think if you want to go Jesus, that's cool, because I don't want to be the focus, man, because I always wanted to be my whole life. I've been center. I want to be the center of attention. I want everybody to love me. I want everybody to focus on me. That's why I did comedy, you know, I try to do it professionally. So we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ. I learned in this that I need to just fade into the background and let Jesus speak through me, because Jesus is the one. I'm not going to do anything for anybody. I'm not going to help anybody. Jesus is the only one, right? All I'm doing is speaking the truth plainly. Yes. That too. Thank you. That's right. Oop, I got to get moving here. Mark's going to be pacing pretty soon. And ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. You know, most of you have been to the main service. It says on the back there, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6:19, where it says, you are not your own, you're bought with the price. So the price was Jesus dying on the cross for us, which makes us servants for him. And it doesn't have to be, well, I have to be a servant because I'm obligated. You can't help, I can't help it. I can't help to be a servant of his because of what he did for me. Man, it was such a blessing to do this. So anyways, I'm going to go and finish this last part. On verse 6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Anybody know where that comes from? Where this let light shine out of darkness? Anybody know where God said that? In the beginning, right. So he's basically, Paul's making the argument here that the same power that brought light into the darkness of this world, the creation, at creation, the same power that did that is the same power that came into my heart and changed my life and made me a new creation. It's the same power, the creation from the beginning. That's why he brings that. It's because I'm a new creation. So it's creation time again. It's the new creation, and I'm being made back to the man that I was supposed to be, living on God's fuel, living on that. So he says, so he made us shine in our hearts. So God, the creator of the universe, made his light shine into my conscience and, you know, passed my intellect into my conscience to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So he's saying, I'm showing you who God is, the glory of God in the face of Christ. Not his physical face, but in the things he did, the things he stood for, the righteousness, everything that the Lord is what God is. And God's trying to reveal it to us. So where do we find the face of Christ? Where do you think we find the face of Christ? I found it all day yesterday in here. This is where we find the face of Christ. So for me, as long as I continue to take the veil off and live without that veil on, I will be transformed into ever-increasing glory all the time. And I see it happen to me all the time. I keep seeing little glimpses of, wow, I used to do this. Wow, I used to do that. I used to react this way. I still don't react that great all the time, but ask the house guys, they know. But you know what? When I do blow it, I try to acknowledge it, and God heals me. So thank you very much.